Hi there, and welcome to Bite Size Adulting with me, Rachel Ndereto. I'm so very glad that you found this podcast, and I hope that the next few minutes that we spend together are going to be fruitful. So we've stepped into a new year. Maybe you set some new goals, some resolutions, or maybe not, and that's okay. But I think something that's universal is our desire to interact with and relate to each other in a full and healthy way. Whether it's with our family, our friends, our workmates, just pretty much everyone around us, most, if not all of us, want to ensure that we're showing up fully and in a healthy way. And one of the key ways to achieve this is through boundaries. And that's what we're going to be focusing on today. So what are boundaries? Boundaries are your articulation of what's okay and what's not okay. It's what you're willing to take and what you will not take. If you think of a house and the fence that is around the house, it ensures that strangers don't get into the house. And also it shows a sense of responsibility that the house owner is responsible for this particular area. Just this territory where I have my fence around. This is everything that I'm responsible for. Anything else that is external to this fence is none of my business. It's not my responsibility. Another way to think of a boundary is to imagine that everyone has a hula hoop around them. And this hula hoop represents their space and it's a boundary. So you as an individual, you're not allowed to get into anyone's hula hoop and they're not allowed to get into your own hula hoop. And what's inside the hula hoop is things that you're responsible for. These are your thoughts, your emotions, your actions, your attitudes. So it's pretty much everything that you're responsible for. And so you create a boundary around it to ensure that external forces are not just spewing into you or influencing things within your hula hoop. So why is it important to have boundaries? We live in a world where we have so much coming at us. We have a lot of pressure. We have so much information. We know so many people, you know. Well, thankfully, because of social media, we have access to so many people and a whole lot of information. But also, even on our day-to-day basis, we interact with so many people, and if we don't have boundaries, these people might actually affect how we show up in the world. Why? Because without a boundary, it means that anyone can get into your space, do what they want, say what they want, act how they want to act. So pretty much, you're like a garbage bin, where everyone can dump their stuff on you and you're going to be okay with it. Why? Because you don't have a boundary. You're open for service to everyone. I know that's a bit harsh, but that's pretty much how it is. If you don't have a boundary, it's detrimental to your growth and it's also detrimental to your mental and emotional health. Also, without a boundary, you risk being so angry and resentful at other people because they'll come at you in ways where you don't necessarily want to be approached. They'll say things to you that you don't appreciate. They'll act in a manner that's not good for you, in a manner that is maybe disrespectful to you or just how you don't want to be treated. And so without boundaries, you start getting so angry and resentful at people because they keep doing things that you don't like. And who wants to live like that? Really, who wants to live like that? And so that's why having a boundary is important. Also, having a boundary ensures that you're able to focus on what needs to be focused on in your own life. You're not just focusing on other people's issues or other people's needs because, to be quite honest, someone else's crisis should not be your emergency. You can even put it the other way around. Someone else's emergency should not be your crisis. And so if you don't have a boundary, since everyone is just bringing everything to you, spewing things into you, You'll take in so much, you'll have so much work, you'll have so much pressure on you, you won't be able to function fully as an adult, and that's something that we do not want to happen. So how do we communicate our boundaries? Because communication is essential, right? First and foremost, do not expect people to know your boundaries without you communicating them. So don't get angry at people for not knowing what your boundary is. You can't expect people to guess what your boundary is. You can't expect people to respect your boundary if they don't know what that boundary is. So it's so, so important that we learn how to communicate what a boundary is. So how do we go about communicating our boundary? You start by stating how you feel about something. Then you mention what that boundary is. And then you talk about what boundary has been crossed and what you are going to do about it. So an example would be, I'm not okay with this. I need you to change this behavior. Or if this behavior continues, this will be the consequence. Again, until you say what you want, you cannot expect people to guess what's okay and what's not okay with you. So you need to be very clear about what your boundaries are. The conversation might be uncomfortable because we live in a culture that has taught us to say yes, or has taught us say no means you're being mean or you're being rude, or people will look at you as someone who's not helpful. But you know what? It's okay. Because a boundary allows you to gain a new respect for yourself, and others are also going to respect you because they know that there's a line that they cannot cross. So they'll only come to you with things that they have either thought through, or they'll approach you in the manner that you want to be approached. So we've talked about how you communicate your boundary. This is what I feel. This is my boundary. You have crossed this boundary, and this is the consequence. So I'll give you an example. I do not like being shouted at. So if we were having a conversation, say, with a colleague of mine, and maybe I'd even done a mistake, you know, and then they'd come at me and, you know, just start shouting at me instead of just having a calm conversation with me, that would be the point when I would set up that boundary. So I would just tell them, I really want to have this conversation with you, but right now I'm feeling really disrespected because of the tone that you're using. I would really appreciate it if you would talk to me in a calm manner, or we would hold this conversation in a calm manner. But if this is not possible, I will leave this conversation and we can pick it up at a later time when we are both calm and can have a calm and honest and respectful conversation. So what this does is, first and foremost, it gives you the responsibility. The responsibility is on you. The responsibility is not on the other person. And that's why I keep using the I statements. So you want to always use an I statement because the responsibility is on you. Remember, this is your hula hoop, and so you're inside your hula hoop. And how you react to things, the emotions that you have, the actions that you have is within your hula hoop. And so while you create this boundary, the responsibility of how you're going to act is fully on you. So as you give your I statements and you give what you want to see, or the change that you want to see, and then you give the consequence. The consequence should always be on you. The responsibility of the action that's going to be done should always be on you. You don't want to use you statements. Why? Because say you say something like, could you not shout at me? Can you stop shouting at me? It's not as effective because when you tell people what they should and should not do, or what how they should behave around us, it can be perceived as controlling. And people can resist that or even dismiss it because no one wants to be controlled. But it's very hard to argue or dismiss what you are going to do as an individual. And so when you use that I statement and you give yourself the responsibility of the action that you're going to take, it gives other people a choice on whether or not they'll interact with us based on the standards that we have set for ourselves. So I'll give you some boundary statements. No, thank you. Or, oh, no, that topic is off limits for me. I will not be discussing that. Or, I really appreciate the invitation, but I won't be able to make it this time. Thank you so very much for thinking of me, though. So you see, in all those statements, one, I'm using an I statement. And two, the responsibility or the action that I'm taking is fully on me. It's an I thing. Those are just some of boundary statements that you can think through. All right, so I'll just give you some tips that I got from Dr. Brené Brown on how to go about communicating and living with your boundaries. First and foremost, you can make a mantra. And this is something that you can use during those awkward moments. Because like we mentioned, setting a boundary can be very uncomfortable. It's beyond our comfort zone. And so setting a mantra will bring you back to yourself and allow you to choose courage in the moment and to go ahead with communicating what your boundary is. So for example, Brené's mantra is, choose discomfort over resentment. It reminds her that she's making a choice that's critical for her well-being, even if it's not that easy. And so you can set a mantra for yourself, something that you keep reminding yourself when you're afraid and you want to run away, or you have decided, oh, maybe it's not good for me to talk about my boundary. Have a mantra that will bring you back to yourself and remind you why it's so, so important for you to have that boundary. Another tip is to keep a resentment journal. And this is for those moments when you have gotten angry and you can feel the resentment coming. Most times when that happens, it means that someone has crossed a boundary. And so when you start feeling those feelings, you can sit down and note down in your journal, what feelings are you feeling? What has happened? What was the situation? What was the environment? What was being spoken about? And then that will help you identify what boundary you need to set so that the next time something like that happens, you're prepared and you know what boundary you need to set. And then lastly, rehearse your boundaries. You can just start, in fact, just stand in front of the mirror and say, no, I will not be attending. No, my plate is full. I will not be able to take up that additional project. So just practice. Speak on your boundaries. You can also practice with a close family member or a friend who you trust. And you can be vulnerable with them and tell them, I'm struggling in this area and I really need to improve on how to communicate my boundaries. And then they'll be able to help you out with that. And lastly, as Brené says, setting a clear boundary sends a message to yourself and to others that you have a strong sense of self-awareness and self-respect. The more clearly you communicate your boundaries without ego, the more you can remain generous to others and simultaneously true to yourself. A boundary is not a bad thing. A boundary is instrumental because it allows you to interact with other people in integrity and allows you to be generous to them because you're showing up fully, because they respect you and you respect them. So I challenge you this week to set those boundaries. Speak on them, implement them where necessary, and please remember, a boundary is a good thing. See you next time when we'll be speaking about boundaries in relationships.